First thing I'll tell you is there are passages in the New Testament that Paul wrote that were pretty, you know, bothersome to people, and people didn't like him for it. In fact, you can read passages where Paul had heard the criticism and he writes and he goes, okay, I hear it. You tell me that I'm strong in letter and that when I come in person that I'm this, you know, timid guy, but he goes, you need to hear my words. And one of the hard things about pastoring is when you've got to say stuff that's hard to hear. Here we go. As I came in, I was stirred to think about a company. A company that's called Sizzler. And I just wrote some things down. It wasn't because I was particularly hungry, but this thought came. Why is Sizzler successful? What is the success of that company? Here's some things I thought about. You can get whatever you want. You can get it prepared the way you like it, when it suits you to get it. You can eat the bits you like and leave behind whatever you don't. If all you want is dessert, you can sit there and eat dessert till you're sick. You choose the company that you arrive with. You don't have to meet anyone around you. You don't have to put any effort into it. You have no personal investment in it. You're free to get up and walk away and leave the mess behind for someone else to clean up. But often it's a sad place where a lot of people come and eat alone, hoping just to be in company. And if it folds, doesn't really matter because there's always another one somewhere else on another corner that I can go and consume at. And Sizzler and many other cafeteria-style restaurants have just become huge hits. Because we can go and get whatever we want, whenever we want it, and we don't have to do anything. We just go and consume. And I thought, boy, that sounds familiar. Welcome to the 21st century church. I got here this evening, and there's one guy here wheeling around chairs. And I thought, you know what? I can guarantee when I look at my watch, and then I realize I can't look at my watch because I left it at home. At about 6:30, people will walk right in the door and walk right over to the tea and coffee and biscuits, knowing that it's all prepared for them, and load up. Maybe get here a little early so you can get the cream biscuits. And then sit and consume. And often we just arrive with the same group of people in our same vehicle and we rock in and we do our thing and we get what we want the way we want it. And if anyone ticks us off or offends us, let alone the pastor say something that we don't like to hear, we just pack up and we'll go somewhere else. Because they'll probably serve it better anyway. And we don't like hearing stuff like this, but, and I am just, I'm not mad. I feel grieved so often. And we sit and we, you know, I hear people want to debate the intricacies of the meaning of verses, and so often we just miss the basics. And I tell you what, if we lived some of the basics, we would change the world. We would change the world. If we just lived the basics of what the Bible says. Romans says we're to be conformed to the likeness of Christ, and yet we miss Jesus. He loved the lost. He fed hungry people. He befriended the most outcast of people. You know, one of the stories that just gets me all the time is the story of Bartimaeus. He's this blind guy sitting outside the wall of Jericho. And it says he hears this crowd coming. And they're all this crowd around Jesus, and they're all singing Jesus songs and celebrating Jesus. And he starts crying out. He's going, "Have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me." And people are just going, "Would you shut up? Can't you see that we're having a Jesus parade here? And you're messing it up." And Jesus basically says, "You know what? Stop the parade. Stop the parade. Bring that man to me." And then someone goes to Bartimaeus and goes, "Hey, lucky you. He wants you." And it's kind of like this, whoa. Now, we're at a stage in this Sunday night gathering, and I know there's a lot of people that go, "Well, Good Life's not my church anyway." I don't care if Good Life, the little C church, is not your church. We are part of a community of believers wherever you might gather. It's like saying, "Yeah, well, I just go to the family reunion and just kind of hang out with my own, immediate blood." We miss the point of the kingdom of God. We miss the point of the church. You know, people thought it strange when we as a little C church, Good Life, went to Marucci Baps and said, "Hey, you guys do this amazing lights thing. Can we just help you at all?" And the people just kind of looked at us like, "Okay, what's the hidden agenda? What do you want?" "Hey, nothing. We'll just serve." And so we've actually taken that on. It's become this beautiful, relationship where we just get to go and serve. And actually, I'll talk about that in a minute, but that's not the point. My point really is that, this is not a place that is just for consuming, grazing. Because there comes a point in my life as a teacher and where I love to read the scripture where I go, "What's the point? How's it really affecting us?" I forget who made the quote. Craig was asking me before. But basically, it's this guy says, "Give me 100 men who love nothing more than the kingdom of God and his Christ and hate nothing more than sin, and I'll change the world." And I'm really, this is a challenge, and it might tick you off and you might be upset. Next week we might have 20 people here instead of 200 plus people here. But I would look at that and I'd go, "That's okay. Let's go. Give me 10 people who love the kingdom of God and its Lord the Christ and hate nothing more than sin, and we'll start changing a community." Now, I'm not just being ugly about it, but some basics of the word: love one another, serve one another. I bring this up all the time. Serve one another. Greet one another. You know, it's a command of Scripture. Greet one another. It says with a holy kiss, but if you're not comfortable kissing one another, at least say hi. But it's sad that many people come into this place and will leave never even having someone said hi to them. People put, names on rosters, and we talk about that. We can talk about rosters till we're blue in the face. If it doesn't affect our heart, what's the point? That's what this is about. That's truly what the community of believers is about. And, I'm thrilled that people come from, and I'm very serious when I say this, from other local churches where you might gather in the morning, but in the evening you want to come and do something else. Great. You should be serving there. You should be serving, connecting others here. Whether it's in the most simple way of, can you get someone something? Can you move a chair? Can you Can you come early 1 week, set up? Can you hold after 1 week and help pack up? But we're sometimes like locusts. We just blow in on the wind, we consume everything there is to consume, and we blow out again on the next breeze. And I'm saying this for the church, big C, not because I'm the pastor of Good Life who's got some axe to grind. I'm talking about the church of the 21st century, big C, is a consumer. In general, and I'm very broad brush painting a wall here, I know, and there's a lot of you that are, you know, you're the ones who are serving heaps, and you're now going, man, how can I serve more? You know, I'm not mad, and I know it's a very broad brush, but it is a broad brush that affects a lot of us, that we blow in and blow out, and we never affect anyone or anything except ourselves. And this is where I know Paul's going, this is a tough letter to write, but the church in Corinth needs to hear it. And this is a tough letter to write, but the church in the 21st century on the Sunshine Coast needs to hear it, because we're so comfortable. And it's very quiet, and I assumed it would be, and I'm not going to hammer this all evening. We will talk about John chapter 8 in a little bit. Anyone got a question or a comment? I found a couple of emails that I haven't got to answer yet. I came back a week ago to 737 emails, and I'm sure there'll be more on Monday. But I'm happy to talk, okay? If we need to dialogue on stuff and you want to challenge what I'm saying, that's great. Let's talk. Because I don't want people to just feel they come and get, you know, slapped or whatever. But, you know, I know there were times with my kids where I had to just say, guys, this is not how we're going to behave. And we're going to make choices to change. Anyone want to say anything? All right, final word, let's create a culture that is different. Amen. Truly, let's create a culture that's different. Yeah, and I'm not going to bother naming, but I tell you what, the guy who was here first tonight was the guy who was last to leave this morning. Last I saw him was carrying garbage bags up to the dumpster, and then when I got here tonight, he's here setting up chairs. I love that. There's a natural servant heart that some people have. There's a gift of servanthood. You know, some of us sort of go, man, I'm kind of glad I don't have that one, you know. But we're all called to it. There's some who do it naturally. The rest of us, we just got to get off our behind sometimes and choose it. All right.